Praise the Lord. I think the Holy Spirit does a much better job in leading the service than man does, don't you? I like this body ministry when the head speaks to the body and each member yields as the Lord leads. Amen. We have a testimony here tonight. Amen. Spirit, but we'll bring it in the Word, and the Word and the Spirit agree, and it will log thoughts impressed in your mind, Psalms 91. So you will have in your mind the Word of God concerning what you have already felt in His presence tonight, and that will stay with you. The feeling doesn't stay with you, but the Word of God does, because there are memory cells in the mind. There are not memory cells in the spirit, and so the feeling is soon gone. And this is why if a person lives by the feeling, as wonderful as the feeling is, when the feeling is not on a person, then he can feel like doing something else. But when you have the Word of God in your heart, He says, hide your word away in his heart, that he might not sin against you. Because then you've got a law, you've got something there to remember, to think on, to look at, to remind you, something to instruct you and lead you in the way. Amen. Tonight, we sang some songs right along the same line as the message tonight. There was a sweet spirit in this place, shut in with God, and under his wings I am constantly abiding. This fits right in with the message tonight. Would like to ask you to stand, join with me in asking God's presence upon the Word of Life this evening. The Secret Place. Psalms 91, starting with verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place. The Lord tells us that the secret place is under his shadow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. If God is in the heavens and there is a shadow being cast on the earth, that shadow has to be the image of God. A shadow is always the image of that which is cast the shadow. And Christ was the image of God on this earth. So when you're abiding in the secret place, you're in Christ. You're in the shadow of the Almighty, and that's Jesus Christ, as the Christ, not as deity, but as the Christ, as the man, anointed of God, the anointed one. He is the shadow, the image of Christ on earth. When you're walking in the shadow of the Almighty, it presupposes that and says that Yahweh is over you. The Almighty is over you. That's why there's a shadow there. You see a shadow from the ground and you're walking. And you know whenever you're walking and a shadow is on the ground and you're staying within the confines of that shadow, you know that the Almighty is right over you. He's right over you. Now, walking, this means that you're walking with God. But a shadow implies light, doesn't it? Whenever you see a shadow, you know there's light. There's no shadows in darkness. But he is the light of life. And so a light has been given that we might walk in the light and have the light to shine on the pathway, and we can see the way. And yet that shadow that's cast down from him lets us know that he's there. The earth, God has made the earth to always stay in the shadow and in the light of the sun. The earth never for a moment leaves the light of the sun. The only time it comes close is during that eclipse. During that quick eclipse where something comes between. But it stays day and night because the earth, one part of the earth is always in the light. And we should be like the earth in that respect, always be where the sun is shining upon us. Sometimes there's a darkness that comes across your path, but you know the other part of your life should stay in the sunshine, huh? You always should have one part of you in the sun. In verse 4, we see that being under the shadow as being under the shadow, as little eaglets under the mother eagle. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And so we are as little eaglets under the wings of the mother who protects her eaglets. Turn to the book of Job, just back a few pages toward the front, a couple dozen pages to Job 28. Job 28, starting with verse 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. When you're under the wings of the Almighty, no bird of prey has been there. Like being under the wings of a great eagle. All the kites that are circling, those are birds of the east, that are circling about the valley, and the cormorant and the hawks and the owls and the ossifrages and all these other crows and birds of the air have never seen under the wing of the eagle. They don't dare get under there. And the chicks are safe there. No weasel, marmot, little fox, a dingo, has ever seen under the wing of an eagle. Nor even the lion's whelp, even the little lionesses have never come under there. They don't dare. That eagle either takes the little young ones, bears them away as an eagle's wings, or that lion would get its eyes plucked out, one of the two. No bird of prey has been there. Verse 13 we read, man knoweth not the price thereof. Man does not know, man cannot know the price that it costs for him to abide under the wings of the Almighty God. No one can know the price that God paid when he gave his only begotten son. Now, no one can love like God. No mother who has an infant can even begin to know the love that God has for us. She has a love for her little baby, but nothing like God has. And if she would give up that little one, it would mean so much to her. But no one knows what it is to give up like God does his only begotten son, who was perfect. And there was absolute righteousness and rapport. No one knows what Jesus Christ, as man, gave up to be willing to give his life, not only to be tortured, but much more than that, to break that sweet, constant, continual fellowship with his Heavenly Father, and to begin to feel very far at home, as the Greek says, and be willing to go into outer darkness without the fellowship of his Heavenly Father forever and forever and forever, having been legally made sin for us. And that's exactly what he did. That's the exact position he was in. When he made that decision, it was like the lesser Christ, Moses, saying, Lord, blot my name out of the book of life, but save Israel. And until you know that the great suffering of Christ was not the torture on the cross, it was rather that decision of his heart to break fellowship with the Almighty God, with his Heavenly Father, and to he who knew no sin to become sin legally. Now, man is bent towards sin and loves the little sins in the flesh. But he who knew no sin, was perfect, hates it. You know, you think of that despicable, terrible, filthy, dirty type of sin that you just hate, and then know that all the sins of the world were much worse than this to Jesus Christ, who is perfect. And then he had to become that and leave that perfect fellowship that we have never even attained to our Heavenly Father. And that's what he had. No one knows the price that he paid. But God raised him from the dead because he was perfect. Amen. He had a right to do that. Jesus cried with strong cryings and tears to be saved from out of death, and was heard in that which he feared, it says in the book of Hebrews, because he was a perfect son. No man knows the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. You can go out in all this world system. You can never find that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. You can ransack the ivory palaces of this world. You can go up and down the great casinos of the land, and you can go out to all the parks and pleasure palaces of men throughout the world, and you'll never find that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. You can go out into the nature that God has created, as beautiful as it is. You can climb the high peaks, look out across the lofty snow-covered mountains, see the sun, beautiful sunrises set in the tropics, but you'll never find the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty there. It's not in the land of the living. It's in heavenly places. And he's invited us to come up and sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the scripture says. Verse 14, the depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold. You can't buy it. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. You can be the Maharaja of India with over $4, $5, $6, $7 billion. You couldn't buy it. And that poor saint who just has a few coals to light her fire and a crust of bread upon her shelf, she can have it. She can have it. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. You can go to the island of Ophir off of the coast of India, where the most pure gold is found. You can take the gold of Ophir and say, I'll give the most precious gold for it, and you can't buy it. The precious, precious onyx or the sapphire, the gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for the jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears, but they haven't entered into it. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. If you're going to find it, you're going to have to find out from him. He's the one who knows. Praise the Lord. It is not only wisdom and knowledge, like it says in verse 21, but it's also protection. But it's not only that, but it's intimate fellowship with the Almighty. Verses 22 to 23, we see that is God who knows the way. Now, how do we find this prized secret place? Well, to go to this place, you have to have a guide. A special guide. Is only one guide who knows the place. The Holy Spirit will be your guide. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, into the secret places. You see, this place is the truth of God. It is God himself. The Word, God and his Word are never separate. A person and his Word are not separate. It is in his Word and in his Spirit. The secret places, you can begin to find the secret places of God in his Word as the Spirit shines light upon it, and it begins to bring that glory into your soul. The truths of God's Word will begin to fill you up and become so precious and so wonderful And then as you're in the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will just bathe your heart and fellowship with you in the love of God, and the truths that He gives you causes you to be lifted up to a place where you are projected into the throne room of God's heart. And you know His heart. And you fellowship. You feel His heart. You feel one with Him. You can love Him on a relationship that is so marvelous because you're right there in the throne room of His heart. You know His heart. You have His favor when you're there. You have His favor. It's well known among the monarchs of the East and ancient kingdoms that if you can get into the presence of the king and fellowship with him, you have a good opportunity to get His favor. When you're in God's presence, you can have His favor. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, as your guide, will lead you along a path to this secret place. This is the path of faith and the path of absolute surrender. Faith and absolute surrender. There has to be faith to enter into that place. If you can't believe it, you'll never find it. And if you will not surrender yourself, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. If you will walk the path that you want to trod, it will not lead you there. If you will try to find that path with your own intellect, you'll never find it. This secret place is a walk in the Spirit. It is a walk with God. As you walk with Him, you're in the shadow all the time that you're walking. You're right beside Him. You're shut in with God in the secret place, as we sung tonight, fellowship with Him. Back to Psalms 91 again. Verse 3. Some people come out to the morning service and they get the mashed potatoes and the meat, and they don't come out to the evening and get the dessert. Don't you feel sorry for them? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now a fowler is one who snares fowls. He's one who puts up a very light mesh net on a couple of poles by the papyrus reeds, and the birds come flying in low over the papyrus reeds, and they don't see this net, and they fly right into it, and the net just pulls away from the sticks that it's on and collapses on the ground, and they find themselves fluttering inside a big invisible world, a small invisible world that's closed in on them, and they can't get out. They have been snared. They have been deceived. They have been tricked by an enemy that wants to take their life. And there's an enemy out here that's trying to trick us with invisible traps. He has set them up in our path that we might run right into them. And God says He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. Now, do you know how God usually delivers us? He usually delivers us after we're in the net. Doesn't He? Often by trouble. Because once we're in trouble, and once we're in the net, and then He takes us out, we can see. We then know about the net. Now He warns us to stay away from the nets, but we often have to blunder in them and have to prove that His word is true, and then He takes us out. And we flap frantically in that net, we get there, and we're just frantic, you know. And He told us all about it, and He takes us up in His arms, and we went, you know, and He lets us go away, and we're free again. And we say, oh, we get up here, and praise God, I'm free. I'm just free. I was in a net, but now I'm free. And the Spirit says, watch out, there's more nets out there. You know how to keep out of those nets? Fly high! Get above this old earth and you won't get caught in those nets. They are down gnawed by the earth. A trapper sometimes will shoot a rabbit, and he'll tie a little rope to his leg, and he'll drag him down a trail. Just walk down a long trail dragging this dead rabbit. And then every so often he'll stop on the trail and set a trap, cover it with a bunch of leaves or something. And down that trail comes the bobcat or the coyote or some other varmint looking for that rabbit. And he picks up that scent that's so strong because it isn't just the footprints now, it's the whole body dragging, maybe the day before or 2 days or 3 days before. And down that trail he comes. And you know, we're just like that bobcat or coyote. Down that trail, it smells right. It seems right. It seems good. It seems all right. Snap, and you're caught. Well, I didn't know he was going to do that to me. You can't catch these, a coyote or a fox or a bobcat by direct means. You've got to deceive them. And so there is a deceiver who's working wily to get us. And we need to stay under his wings. Under his wings, we can be in peace. If you're out there far from home, you begin to see the circling vultures, you may panic. But brother, don't go out far from home. Stand in the shadow of the Almighty, and those vultures don't want to circle around there. You have a peace. In this world, you should have tribulation. But in Jesus, you have peace. The world brings tribulation, but Jesus brings peace. Stay in Jesus Christ. There's an insect that has the ability to enfold itself in a film of air. And so there's a film of air all about it. And then it drops into a muddy, stagnant pool. And it's safe there in that mud and that stagnation, the little crawly things never get to it. It never gets on to the surface of the insect. It's protected by a film of air about it. And, Christians can be like that. If you're in that app, you can surround yourself with a holy, sacred atmosphere of the Lord and a presence. And then you're out here in this old, muddy life, stagnation, and all these crawly things about you, and you will not be affected by it. You'll be in the world, but not of it. It won't get all over you. There is a place you keep that atmosphere about you. But if we don't, that mud stuff gets all over us, and we're soon bogged down so we can hardly move in that old, thick, oozy mud. But there is a place that God will protect us with his presence. In verse 4 we read, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." There was a prairie fire out in the prairies one day, and when it came so fast, and there was a strong wind that was blowing it, and the farmers didn't even have time to gather up the goods. They fled before the fires that were being fed by the winds across the prairies. And they fled for their lives and left everything there. When the fire had burned off the prairies, they went back, and one farmer was going back, and he saw a charred, round thing on the ground. He wasn't quite sure what it was, really charred. And he just gave it a kick out of curiosity, and it went over and broke in pieces, and he had found that it had been a mother hen, and live little chicks ran out cheeping as soon as he kicked it. She was unable to take her chicks out of the way, valued their little lives more than her own, and she threw herself over the chicks and covered them. The fire burnt right up over her feathers and right on, and they stayed under there, and they remained. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Sacrificed his life for us that we might live, and while we would hide under his wings. The secret place of God is in Christ, our Savior, who has saved us through his death. And then we can abide in him. We're safe. This is why we are baptized into Christ. Greek says into, ice, into. In verse 10, we read, There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy what? Dwelling. You see, the problem that we often have when we get caught in these snares is we leave our dwelling, huh? We wouldn't get caught in snares if we stayed in our dwelling, but we leave the dwelling where the Almighty, the shadow of the Almighty is, and then we get out there and get in trouble. Did not Jesus say, "Remain ye in the vine"? I am the vine, you're the branches, remain in the vine. If you don't, you'll die. That's what he said. The prodigal son thought that he would do well out there in the world because he was going to have some fun. He decided to go out and have some fun to satisfy the flesh. It wasn't very long. And he had to leave his father's presence to get out there. He couldn't sin right close to home. He'd feel terrible sitting right there in his father's farm. He had to get out there where his father's eyes and his brother's eyes could not look on him. But the eyes of the Almighty were upon him, the all-seeing eye. And he went out there to spend his money in righteous living and have fun, but it wasn't long, and he found he was trapped. He joined himself, cemented himself to a citizen of that country, and he was the son of Israel. He left his father's house. It wasn't long. He was living like the swine, in fact, below the swine. Longed to eat the curb husk that they even ate. Found himself in misery out there. He thought he could do better than his father could with his life. He found out his father managed his life better than he did. Your father can manage your life better than you can. Amen? In verse 11 we read, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." How many believe that? How many don't believe it? In this materialistic age, there's a lot of poo-pooing about demons and angels. Oh, demons. Well, the demons have been operating underground. They've been deceiving a lot of people because people don't even know they're there. And angels, and they're fallen angels. Angels were created to help man. Now, fallen angels are against man. Well, then what are unfallen angels for? They must be for man, huh? If the one who have failed are against working against man, the others must be working for man. That's what God says. Many Christians recognize demons, but hardly recognize unfallen angels. But they're there. They have a greater impact. I am sure that angels have a greater impact on us than we ever realize. The Bible says here that he gives his angels charge over thee. You know what charge means? God says, "Now I'm putting them in thy charge. I'm putting them in your hands. I'm giving you a strict command to protect them. I'm giving you a charge." He gives his angels charge over us. In Psalms 34:7, for just a moment, hold your place. In 34:7, I'll just read it quickly. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear God and delivereth them. And one more scripture in Hebrews 11, 13 and 14. "These all died in faith." I'm trying to get to the right place now. No, that's not what I want, I don't think. No, Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 is what I want. Yes. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The angels are ministering to us. Now that I've built that platform, let me put this structure up, superstructure up. Here's the question. Here's the situation. If you go someplace where unfallen angels do not want to accompany you. Supposing you go into some honky-tonk place. And an unfallen angel does not want to go into that presence where all those unfallen, where all those fallen angels are. And you go in there by yourself, are you not deliberately exposing yourself to attack? Because the demons will follow you there. That's their home. That's their kind of place. That's their business. And it appears that maybe you have a choice between a companion angel or a companion demon. Now you know that there's always a demon that wants to bother you. And since God has given his angels charge over thee and given you an angel to keep thee in all thy ways, then you have an angel there to protect you if you will walk in the way. He can be your constant companion according to the word of the Lord. Jacob inquired after that secret name, you remember, of that one who he wrestled with. He says, what is your name? You know, when we meet somebody, he tells in superlative words how wonderful the name is. The only way you can really appreciate that is go to the secret place and see how wonderful that name is. A name represents a person. A king has a name. His name represents everything that he is. When an edict comes and says, this is by in the name of King Henry VIII, then you know that whatever army King Henry VIII has is behind that edict. You know that whatever money he has is behind that which he says he's going to build and do. You know that whatever he is behind that. You know his word is behind it, whatever it is, whatever it stands for. His name stands for what he is. Well, when you're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, you have a pretty wonderful name. You have all the treasures of heaven. You have the Almighty God. We read in verse 1, biding under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, it means that no other might can come in and hurt you, because he is Almighty. How do you like that? His name is wonderful. No wonder his name is wonderful. There's treasures evermore. Everything that he is, he's good for everything. Person says, well, now you see a check, you know, well, what's this person good for? We're checking the person. Is he good for this? Brother, listen, he's good for everything you can give and then some. Then some. For sin doth abound, grace does superabound. Superabound. Scripture says. In Job 29:4, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here quickly. Job 29:4 says, Job was moaning about the relationship with, well, his lack of, his rapport with God at a particular moment, the lack of that presence, and thought about when God was with him and blessed him so much in the early days. And he says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The secret of God was upon my tabernacle. God was doing things in me at that time, and I was close to him. No wonder it says he was a perfect man and escheweth evil, because the secret of God was upon him. He knew what to do. The secret, you know what the secret of God is? It's the secret counsels. It means the secret counsels of God. The secret of God was upon him. It means that secret counsels. In fact, it says in Job that he would stand in the gate and men of the city would come to him and ask his counsel. Job was the one they would come and ask. Well, no, ask Job. Ask Job. You want to know anything? Ask Job. The secret of God was upon him. The secret counsel. The wisdom of God. Ask Job, they said. He knows. How come he knows? How come he's perfect? Well, because he escheweth evil. He hates evil. He's in the presence of God. Psalm 25:14. You may turn there. Just a few pages over. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them His covenant. Many people know nothing about the covenant of God. What does it mean, His covenant? That means that secret pact He's made with His beloved. That's the pact. That's the promises He's made. He will show them His promises. They shall see His promises fulfilled. He's made a covenant with them. He has promised them something if they don't break the covenant. And they shall see His covenant. They shall see it right there. You can be the spiritual discernment. It means you're taught of God. Don't bother to turn to it because I have it right here. But in John 6:45, we read, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." All those that have heard and been taught of God in the Word, Jesus said, they come to me because they've been taught of God. God that was teaching people, and they come unto me. They don't have any trouble. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Psalms 27:4-6. "One thing have I desired of the Lord." You know, if most of us, more of us, would just have this one thing instead of all these 20 things, we might do better. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." He that seeks shall find, the scripture says. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life." Why? "To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." That's that secret counsel. In the secret place in His temple, you get secret counsel. And you see His beauty. "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Now the secret of His tabernacle. There was a secret place in the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was called the Holy of Holies. No one else was allowed to go there. That's where the Shekinah glory was. If you're there, you're in the Shekinah glory. There was no light. There was no man-made light in that room. Absolutely dark, excepting when God would come down on the mercy seat, a Shekinah glory would fill the room. But we can go in there into the Holy of Holies so no avenger can chase us. You can be guilty even of something. And a man in Israel can take your sword and chase after you, but you went into the Holy of Holies and he won't go in there after you. But the only reason we can go into the Holy of Holies is because He has made us kings and priests unto God. You've got to be a priest to go there in that secret place. What is a priest? He's a representative between God and man. He's one who hears the voice of God and he passes it on to man. He's one who hears the voice and the cries of man, and he passes it on to God. He's the middleman between God and man. But he's man, but he's in the presence of God. And if you're that type of person, if you're a priest of God, He can take you in that secret place, and you can see the Shekinah glory. And right there, He'll manifest His presence. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Some people come in here and they wonder why we sing like we do, such praises. Well, it's because we're getting glimpses of the secret place. Because we're walking into through the veil and we're just kind of probing in to the curtain, to that secret place, and then we begin to praise Him. You can't be in the secret place without praising Him. You just cannot be. You get in that secret places, you get out in the prayer room, you get into that, carried away into the secret place of God, and but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to whine and groan and cry. You're going to praise Him. You're going to praise Him. You're to dry your tears and you'll praise Him. Psalm 31:19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You know, it's this kind of secret to the world how God's people can have a peace And there can be all the strife and the turmoil in the world, and everybody's fretful and all worried and steamed up, and there's all the tongues and clashing and anger, and people can walk with a perfect peace. Keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. In that secret place. And then over a little bit further in the, let's see, Psalms, in the Song of Solomon, 2:4, just over past Psalms, Bill. Past Proverbs, past Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 14. This is Solomon to his wife, or Jesus to his bride. O my dove, and we have to admit that we're silly doves, as he says, and I won't explain that tonight, we've done it before. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, the rock, he's the rock, in the secret places of the stales, or the secret of the stales. What is the stales? The stales are where you can ascend up in the rock. That's that cleft of the rock he's carved, and you can ascend up into the secret place in the rock. That rock of ages, where you're above the storms of life. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, we have that wonderful privilege of entering in to that secret place, the secret place of the stales. And I would just encourage you tonight to enter in. Spend time in the presence of God. Just wait before the Lord until all of your anxiety is gone and all the voices of the multitudes and the people and all the thoughts of the day and everything until there's just that stillness before you and the Lord. And you're not aware even where you are. You don't know anything about the walls that are about you or the people or the clock that is ticking, but you're there in the secret place of the Lord. I just long to get be there. I long to be there, don't you?
Yes.
And you just feel like hugging the first person that comes along. You'll just feel so good in your soul. You feel like doing everything right. You'll get results from being in that place. You'll never get above the place of this world and be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus until we get into that secret place. Allowed to walk in that white room, in that secret place where he can show us his beauty. We can't take our muddy shoes of this earth and stomp across that white room. He won't let us do it. But oh, I tell you, those great big grapes that would make the of the new sweet wine that are hanging in such abundant clusters that it makes the grapes of Eskol look just like skimpy little nothing. Stingy little bundles of grapes compared to these great, luscious wine of the Spirit hanging in clusters waiting for us there in the arbor in that beautiful white room where the sunshine and light of God is streaming in there in golden rays upon the pure white floor, the dazzling of the eyes. It will, and the white lilies about there, and the fragrance that comes from those lilies, and the perfume that will fill the air, and the sweet melody that wafts across that beautiful garden court. You won't want to leave it. You won't want to leave it. You want to stay in that presence. Amen. Let us stand.